God's grace, his mercy, and his wonderful salvation be yours today in Jesus Christ, our Savior, with all joy. Amen. Well, last week we looked together at Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 in the wilderness. And today I'd like to look with you at something in that passage that we didn't talk about, that we missed, but I don't want us to miss it. And let's see if we can discover, and you listen, I'm going to ask you, here's the test. Let's listen to that passage again and see what happened just before that miracle of feeding the 5,000 occurred. You ready? Okay, after this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a multitude followed him. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii, a year's wages, would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And so there's the miracle. The bread and the fish were multiplied, and all ate and were filled. What happened just before that miracle? Jesus prayed, and what did he do when he prayed? Yeah? He gave thanks. And that's what I'd like to talk with you about today. Jesus' giving of thanks and our giving of thanks. What do you think Jesus means by this? What is he teaching us by that? That he gives thanks even before he sees any miracle or deliverance occur. Why is that important for us to give thanks even in a seemingly impossible situation, even before you see any deliverance come from the Lord? Why is this the right thing for us to do? How does giving thanks change things? Change our circumstances? And what does giving thanks have to do with God stirring up his mighty power to come and save you? Well, let's see if we can understand these things by the Word of God today and what God would teach us about thanksgiving, something we often don't have on our radar scope, that is really at the heart of the Christian's life. We're to be abounding in thanksgiving. Why? Well, let's take a look at some of this stuff today. First of all, what can we say about thanksgiving? Is that the world basically doesn't give thanks to God, does it? Because it doesn't believe in him. How do you give thanks to a God you don't believe in or know? Well, look at the multitude here in John chapter 6. Do you have any record here of them giving thanks to God before the miracle? No. During it? After it? No. Now, they might have said thanks after. Maybe they had polite Jewish mothers who taught them to be thankful. And so they said thanks to Jesus, to the apostles, to God after they got some food, maybe. We don't know, but maybe. But the characteristic of the world is what? No thanks to God, right? Think of it in the greatest sense. God has sent his son Jesus Christ to take our sin and to die to be our Savior, and most of the world says, no thanks. No thank you, I don't want that. That's the biggest insult you could ever give to God. No thanks to Jesus. Well, think about what it says here in Romans chapter 1. I'll just read it here. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Think about the world. No thanks. No giving of thanks to God. That's their characteristic. There was once an atheist. Her name was Harriet. I read this story. She went out with her friend onto a beautiful fall morning, and the colors of the leaves were like rainbows. There was frost on the meadow. The sun was peeking through the trees. And she said, "I just feel so thankful." And her friend, who was a Christian, said, "But to whom are you thankful?" Silence. There's no answer. Because she didn't know him, she didn't believe in him, she couldn't give thanks to him. That's the characteristic of the world. Is it the characteristic of Christians? How much thanksgiving is there in our lives? And note, if unbelieving people can't even give thanks on a cloudless, beautiful morning in good times, how are they going to give thanks to God in bad times? They can't, is the answer. In fact, often they curse him. But what about us? I want to ask you. You can give thanks in good times. Can you give thanks in bad times when you haven't seen God's salvation yet to your life, to your situation, and his help come? Can you give thanks to him in dire circumstances? Well, let's think about this. How about the disciples? Next point. Even believers often forget to give thanks to God in the good times and especially in the bad, right? Check out what we read here in John chapter 6. Lifting up his eyes then, Jesus, seeing that a multitude was coming to him, he said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. What was the test? What did Jesus want Philip to do? Look up to God, like he did, and give thanks, like he did. How do we know that that's what Jesus wanted from the test? Because Jesus did it, right? Jesus is the perfect example. What did Philip do? Philip, remember, looks to the outward overwhelming circumstances and he despairs. It's hopeless. There's no way. A year's wages wouldn't buy enough. And then Andrew, remember, looks downward to his resources, his limited resources. We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then he also throws up his arms. What are they among so many? You look outward and you get despair and hopelessness. You look downward to your resources, despair and hopelessness. Jesus wants us to look up to the God of all resources and give thanks for his provision. Do you do that? Jesus, of course, again, is that perfect example for us. And in troubles, what is your trouble today? What is your trial? What is your hardship and calamity? What is your seemingly impossible situation? And I want to ask you, are you giving thanks to God right now, even for that victory that he's going to give you eventually? Can you give thanks to him in the midst of that? Or is your voice silent? Is he hearing your cries and pleas for help, but no word of thanks? Well, Jesus gives you the example here. This is what he wants us to do, to give thanks to him. And if we don't give thanks in the good times, how much less do we do it in the bad? Let's take a look at Jesus here. It says, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." He looks upward to God. He goes forward. Philip and Andrew look outward and downward. They're frozen, right? If you want to go forward in your life, you look up to the God of all resources and give you thanks. Jesus goes forward. Make the people sit down. They sat down, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When did Jesus give thanks? According to the in reference to the miracle. Before the miracle occurred, then he gives thanks. Is that the way we usually do it? We usually cry to God for help, and then when we get the deliverance and the answer, then we give thanks. If we give thanks, if we even remember to, God forgive us. Jesus gives thanks when? Before the miracle. And then God's might overflows and multiplies the resources to meet the need. What do you think God's teaching you about thanks by this? Do you think it could be that God's, power is stirred up to act, to save us when we give thanks? What is giving thanks? Before the miracle, if you give thanks before the miracle, what is that really? Faith, right? That is an expression, right, of perfect trust. Even though I can't see any way out, like the children's sermon, even though Eddie kind of blew me out of the water there. Even if you can't see a way out of your dire circumstances, whatever they are this morning, if you are giving thanks to God for his deliverance somehow through it, though you can't see it, you are expressing, "I trust you." You are the providing God, like Jesus said, "God, my Father, you are the providing God. I know that you provide for us and everything. I know that you will multiply these resources to meet our need. Thank you for it." And then he distributes and boom, power and miracle and strength and might of God are working. it's right for us to give thanks. And it's a powerful thing for us to do to give thanks because it changes us. Say changes.
Changes.
Say changes me.
Changes me.
Changes the inside of us, and it changes the outward circumstances a lot of times as well. Let's talk about each of those in turn, okay? How does Thanksgiving change the inside of us? How does it work a miracle there? Well, imagine how the disciples felt in this situation. Philip, oh, huge overwhelming need. I'm scared. It's never going to work. We're defeated. Andrew looks down to his resources. I'm scared. It's never going to work. When Jesus began to give thanks, what do you think happened in their hearts? Do you think they stayed the same? When they see their leader, Jesus, the great Son of God, giving thanks, they knew, something's coming, right? If Jesus is giving thanks, something is about to happen. And I can see their hearts being warmed and their faith kindled before they even see anything happen because thanks are being given. How about you in your life? In a hopeless situation, when you're up against the wall and you're facing an overwhelming crisis, like you're in a storm at sea and you're crying out, we're perishing, Lord, we're perishing. Can you give him thanks even then? What do you think? Jesus tells us to do so. We can do so. What's it do inside of you? Well, first off, it turns your heart from looking outward at your overwhelming need, and which frightens you, looking downward at your resources, which terrifies you, upward to God, which causes you to rejoice, right? I mean, have you been grumbling and complaining in a situation before, or feeling self-pity, or feeling terrible fear because something is facing you? If you start praising God in that, if you start giving thanks to him for it and praising him for his victory, even when you can't see it, what's happening inside of you? You're not looking there, you're not looking there, you're looking there. It's just like when David was facing Goliath. All the army looks at Goliath and they tremble. David looks at the Spirit of the Lord as a giant standing over Goliath the giant, and he says, I will rejoice. And there is courage in his heart because he's looking to God in faith. That's what Thanksgiving does for us. Think about, is this just me talking? Look at Acts chapter 27. Let me read you just a little example here. Paul here is here in a storm at sea. Anybody been in a storm at sea? All right. For 14 days, a howling wind and a dark and tempestuous tempest. Listen to what it says here. As the day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense without food and having taken nothing. I mean, the clouds were thick and dark. Basically, a hurricane was blowing. 2 weeks, and therefore I urge you to take some food. They haven't eaten for 2 weeks. It will give you strength, since not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said this, he took some bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? In a situation impossible, takes bread, blesses it, and gives thanks to God. And what happened to their hearts? They went from fear and discouragement to, come on, come on, courage. Their hearts were encouraged when they had heard a word from the Lord and given thanks. How about your life? You can change. I mean, God, that is, the Holy Spirit, through your thanks, can change your heart. In the midst of your situation, even if the outward storm still rages, the inward storm can be peace and still, and the waves be calm. That's a great blessing already, isn't it? I mean, who cares if the outward storm's still going, if the inward storm has ceased? That's a beautiful blessing already. Think of Corrie ten Boom in World War II. Her sister gave thanks for the fleas that they had in their prison camp, in their concentration camp. Give thanks for the fleas, thought Corrie. Why should we give thanks for the fleas? Well, it turned out later, the sister just did it in obedience. Later, it turned out that the reason the Nazi guards did not come in and molest them and rape them was because of the fleas. She gave thanks in the midst of that, and it changed their hearts, and it was part of God's deliverance even to send that affliction upon them. Courage comes into your heart. You learn that God is a providing God, and you say, what have I to fear? What can man do to me? This slight momentary affliction is preparing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison through Jesus Christ. And so we give thanks to God. It changes what's inside of us while we're giving to God his right and due, because he is the providing God. How has it changed us outside? Want to change to that one now? This is pretty cool. You ready for that? Remember, Jesus gave thanks before, say it again, before the miracle happened, and then the power flowed. God, as if it were, was stirred up by that act of faith to save us, he fed the 5,000. Is that the only time Jesus did that? Answer? No. Look at Matthew 15. Jesus took 7 loaves this time and fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were satisfied. And they filled the 7 baskets this time with the pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 besides women and children. So you got 9,000 people plus women and children filled already after the Lord had given thanks and then the miracle. How about this one? John chapter 11. What did Jesus do there? Anybody know the scriptures well enough? Raises Lazarus from the dead. What does he do just before he raises Lazarus from the dead? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you hear me always, but I've said this for the sake of these, that they may know that you sent me. And when he had said this, Lazarus, come out! And he raised the dead. What preceded the raising of the dead? Thanksgiving, right? Is this only Jesus, though, the great miracle worker, the Son of God, who has the power to do this? Can you do this, too? Does Thanksgiving work for your life? Well, let's look at some sinful people like ourselves. Jehoshaphat. I love that word. Just say that. I want you to know that word. Jehoshaphat. Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. Whatever. Now, in 2 Chronicles 20, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared, because what is he doing? Outward circumstance, yikes! Little resources, yikes! He was afraid. But the next day, they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in God and the Lord your God. You'll be established. Believe his prophets and you'll succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. So here's an army of great multitude going before his. He's never going to win on his own. What's he send ahead of him? Singers of thanksgiving. And what's the verse next verse? And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Think about that. So you send out thanks ahead of your army, and you don't even have to fight. God destroys them all, has them fight each other, and all Jerusalem has to do is come and take the spoil because of what happened before they were routed. Thanksgiving. How about in your life? Have you been neglecting this? Do you think maybe we're not seeing God's power at work mightily to deliver us a lot of times because we just are not giving thanks? Possibly. Not that we give thanks in order to get the deliverance, but we give thanks in the midst of it because it's God's right and due as our providing God. It's an expression of our belief and trust in him. Is that the worst situation? How about Jonah? Imagine if you were Jonah. We're back at sea. There are black clouds. They're a tempestuous wind. It's a hurricane. The ship is going down. They're throwing off stuff to lighten it. The mountains, the waves are like mountains. Picture it at night, black as pitch. Jonah is then plunged into the sea. Can you imagine yourself dipping down into that cold ocean? The ship now sailing away from you. Your all hope of lost, getting saved is lost. And then a fish swallows you. And then you go down into the depths. And Jonah prayed, it says, from the belly of the fish to the Lord. The waters closed in over me. The deep was round about me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed over upon me forever. You think you could give thanks then? We read, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to thee what I vow to thee I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Have you done that? No. None of us have been at the bottom of the sea like that. But maybe your life feels that way. Jonah gave thanks, and the next verse, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spit out Jonah upon the dry land. Deliverance was preceded by thanksgiving. One more, Paul and Silas. Remember that? We just did that on Wednesday night, Acts chapter 16. They've been beaten with rods. They are bruising. They're bleeding. They're thrown into prison and tormented unjustly. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Thanksgiving, that is. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's fetters were unfastened. What happened? Thanksgiving, then mighty deliverance. You have an earthquake. The chains fall off like melted butter. Their tormenting jailer actually gets saved and comes to Jesus with all his household is saved. And then even the people who threw him into jail come and apologize. Why? Because they gave thanks. Well, I mean, because God wanted to save them, but it was preceded by thanksgiving. Does that mean that we're going to use thanksgiving to try to manipulate and change God? No. Why do we give thanks? Because it's his due. And he's our providing God. And he's promised, I will be with you. I will sustain you. And I will ultimately give you the triumph over all that opposes you. Whether it is in this life or in the one to come. For we know this slight momentary affliction of this life is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Say that. Eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Can't you give thanks to God in the midst of your trouble for that? It's going to change your heart. It's going to give God his due, because what you're doing is you're having a loving fellowship the way it's supposed to be. What can we give to God but thanksgiving? He owns everything. What do you give to the God who has everything, right? You give him thanksgiving. And he has promised to take care of you. And the light and the of his presence will cause you to patiently endure until he sets you free. As it says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. Do you believe that? What are you facing today? Financial crisis? Health crisis? Spiritual battle? Do you believe that? That God will help you when the morning dawns. Weeping may terrify the night, but joy comes in the morning. So it's right for us to do. Amen? God's given us all things. Amen? It's God's will for us. Amen? Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks for what he's done for you. He's created you. He's delivered you through his cross. He's carried you all the way through life to this point. Give thanks for that. For we give thanks to him who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He saved you by grace. Give thanks for what he's doing with you right now. Even if you're still in the storm, guess what? He says, but I will be with you. But I will be with you. But I'll not forsake you. But I will not fail you. Give thanks to him that, my goodness, even if the storm rages, God is with me. What have I to fear? He says he'll carry me all the days of old, even to old age and gray hairs. I'll carry you. I have made you. I'll bear you. I will carry you, and I will save you, says God. And we give thanks not only for the past and the present, but the future. What's he got stored up for you? Peter says, by his great mercy, you've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What is in store for you is a kingdom and light and blue skies and mountains and the face of Jesus Christ and the saints forever and forever and forever. So my God in his steadfast love will meet me. My God will make me look on triumph on my enemies. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I'll give thanks to thee forever. Yes, yes, shout today and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Amen.